Hello, it's Mark Chris from Amora Sloan Kettering, and I'd like to speak today on a topic we don't speak about too often, but I think its time has come, and that is squamous cell lung cancers. Squamous cell lung cancers represent 20% of all lung cancers. Number one is adeno, 60%, and squamous is next with 20%. Small cell now down to 13%. There have been innovations in the diagnosis of this illness. Still, the WHO categorization is based on a morphologic review. However, there is very specific staining, usually the P40 or the P63 stain, very specific for squamous cell, and also the absence of other stains like Napsin or TTF1 that would lead to the diagnosis of adenocarcinoma. When you use stains in addition to expert morphologic classification, and you look at all of lung cancers, the incidence of these not otherwise specified or large cell lung cancers disappear. So it's very, very important to work with your pathologist to get them good-sized specimens and to get all the information that you can. The second thing that's growing in the treatment of squamous cell cancers is the use of multiplex molecular profiling. The current NCCN guidelines recommend multiplex profiling for cases where squamous cell cancers have been diagnosed in never smokers. Also, for those cases of squamous cell cancer where there is not a lot of material and the diagnosis of squamous cell cancer based on morphologic grounds is somewhat less certain. The other emerging use of the multiplex testing is frankly to use it for diagnosis. If you find something like a KRAS mutation, it would almost assure that you do not have a squamous cell cancer and would make sure that this cancer is more in the adeno category. And also, there are more and more targets. A lot of research going on with FGFR1, PI3K, and P10, and more drugs entering the research space there. But there also are targets, MET amplification in particular. In a recent article by Schildhaus in the Clinical Cancer Research in February of this year, they found high-level MET amplification in 3% of squamous cancers. This has been associated it has been investigated with sensitivity to crizotinib, and that would be an additional option for a patient that had high-level MET amplification with squamous cancers. The other thing that has happened is within the last several months, we've now had two drugs approved in this squamous space. The most recent one is nivolumab, approved just a few days ago, that in a phase 3 trial, comparing treatment with nivolumab to that of docetaxel as a treatment after progression on cisplatin-based therapy, patients had improved outcomes by the use of nivolumab. There was no special tissue typing or testing needed for that, and clearly there was benefit over docetaxel, so that becomes an option. The other agents that have been approved were the combination of docetaxel and ramucirumab, an anti-VEGF agent, approved just a few weeks ago. Suddenly, we have two agents that we can recommend to patients after progression on cisplatin and combination therapy. My own bias, by the way, for initial therapy would be cisplatin with gemcitabine. However, again, other choices are there. Cisplatin and a taxane would be appropriate as well. However, now in this treatment after progression, I think nivolumab would be the obvious choice here in that it beat docetaxel in the recent head-to-head comparison. And I would probably advocate cisplatin gemcitabine first, nivolumab second, and then the combination of docetaxel and ramucirumab third. Agreed, it's an open question whether adding ramucirumab to docetaxel would be a better outcome over nivolumab alone, but I think that because it appears that the benefit from nivolumab is present regardless of line of therapy, it would make the most sense to give that next, and then to save docetaxel and ramucirumab for the next round if that happens. So in summary, we've had a lot of developments in the squamous cell space. work with your pathologist and your molecular pathologist to get the best identification of squamous cancers and the best molecular characterization that you can get, and use these new drugs and develop your own pattern of how to recommend these drugs to patients first in any line of therapy.